on the line now, I have Professor Luke Drury. He's the head of astrophysics and astronomy section and director of the School of Cosmic Physics in Dunsink Observatory. Good afternoon, Luke. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Mark.
Yeah. How you doing, Luke? I grew up in Finglas, and Dunsink Observatory is one of those buildings. is one of those buildings that's there, and nobody seemed to know anything about it. Nobody seemed to visit it. It's a brilliant attraction. It's got a wonderful history, and some of the stuff that goes on up there is fantastic. Maybe firstly, you could probably just fill us in on a small bit of history about the place.
Yeah, sure. Actually, we have something like 4,000 people a year going through, so people do visit it. But I agree with you; it should be better known, really. It all goes back really to the 18th century when Provost of Trinity, Provost Andrews, left a sum of money in his will to build an observatory and establish a chair of astronomy in Trinity College, Dublin. And the observatory opened in 1785, and it's historically very significant because it was the first building in Ireland which was specifically built for research. So it's the ancestor, really, of all the research centres that we have nowadays. So that's its origin. It goes back to...
It goes back that far. And as you said, I mean, you do get a lot of visitors through the place every year. But you rightly say, it's just not one of those places you hear a lot about. I very rarely hear people talk about it. I've often said it, my kids
sort of
visited.
They vaguely know about it, but they don't know very much about it. They just are vaguely aware that it's there.
It's there, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame because it's a beautiful gem, actually, and it's historically very important because the greatest scientist that Ireland ever produced, William Vaughan Hamilton, spent all his working life in Dunsink.
Yeah. And, I mean, the telescope and the Grubb telescope, I mean, it's fairly well known amongst astronomers and around the world, and it has a fascinating history of its own, hasn't it?
Well, the whole Grubb, the very few people are aware that in the 19th century, Dublin was a major centre for the manufacture of telescopes, and we exported telescopes all over the world. And the Grubb telescope in Dunsink is a very nice early example of his craftsmanship.
Yeah.
A beautiful telescope, not a research instrument, of course, nowadays, but it's wonderful for open nights. People really love looking through a big telescope and seeing the stars with their naked eye.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. I remember my first experience. I saw Saturn through a telescope, and it's actually quite, I don't know if emotional is the right word, but it does take your breath away. To see these celestial bodies just up close and personal, and it's amazing.
The Moon or Venus or Jupiter or Saturn, those are just, there is something special about seeing it with your own eye, isn't it?
It's absolutely fab. I'm lucky enough, my two children and I are fascinated, and even just some nights, if we're lucky, our back garden's a bit darker, it's the most wonderful show you can get for free on a clear night, just to look up at the heavens.
Yeah, unfortunately, of course, in Dublin now, the sky is so bright with all the light pollution.
Absolutely.
You don't really see the full glory of the sky. I mean, you have to go to either up into the Wicklow Mountains, or better still, up to somewhere like Donegal or Connemara, then you really see. But of course, it's likely to be cloudy.
You need
a combination, though. You need dark skies and a clear sky, and getting the two in Ireland is not easy.
Yeah, that's true. Or we tend to get the clearer skies on the summer evenings when it doesn't get really dark enough.
Yeah, we forget we're at high latitude, we're as high as Newfoundland.
So
this time of year, there's very little darkness, really. Yeah.
So, getting back to the observatory, and you have an education and an outreach programme up there, and you promote astronomy, you have family groups and everything going up, and you have open nights. What are some of the things that people can learn about when they go up there?
Well, we obviously tailor the programme to the groups who are visiting, but the general plan is we give them a talk about the history of the observatory, why it's important, how it developed over time. Then we try and give them a talk aimed at a general public, but by a research astronomer, one of our students or postdocs or one of our associates. I think it's very important that people get a chance to actually talk to a professional astronomer, and if they have questions, then they can ask them and discuss things. And then, if the weather's good, we let them look through the telescope. Now, unfortunately, you can't guarantee that the weather will be good, but even if it's cloudy, you very often get breaks in the cloud, and you know, you might be lucky and you know, Jupiter or Saturn is visible. So.
And we've
that's
had
the general pattern of things, and then we have a few special things. Like in summer, the only thing really you can do is solar astronomy. So we have around the solstice we have an annual solar fest, which is devoted to observations of the sun. Now you need to know what you're doing if you want to observe the sun, because it can be very dangerous. So please don't try this at home.
I was just thinking the same thing. Don't look at the sun, kids.
No. You can very easily blind yourself.
Yes. Well, that's what I've often said to my kids. If the heat can get this far, the light certainly can. Because,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
And again, the wonderful thing in these days of austerity and tough times for people is it's mostly free up in Dunsink, especially when you have your open nights. And I hold the open nights on the 1st and 3rd Wednesdays of each month. And people go online if they want. They can register for tickets, but it's all free.
It's all free. I mean, our position is that I should say that you know it was run by Trinity up until 1947, and then Eamon de Valera purchased it by the Irish state bought it, and it's been run by the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies since then. And our position is it's like the Botanical Gardens or the National Museum. These are things that belong to the people.
Mm-hmm.
The people should. Obviously, you can't just throw the doors open and let anyone come in because we have to control numbers and so on.
Yeah.
But our attitude is it belongs to the people and you should be free to come and find out what's going on and look at a wonderful bit of Irish history.
Yeah. I was thinking about the upkeep and, you know, obviously, as you say, you don't... And it's been under the care of Trinity. Do Trinity still own the land and the building, or is it taken care of by somebody else?
It was entirely transferred. As I said, Eamon de Valera purchased it in 1947, and so it technically belongs to the Office of Public Works, are responsible for the external maintenance of the buildings, and the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies is responsible for internal maintenance and administration.
Ah, brilliant. Now, some of the events, if people were interested coming in, you say some of them are a bit away now. I'm looking here specifically at Science Week. I know when I was talking to Hillary up there in Dunsink last week, she was telling me that Science Week in particular does be fantastic. You get a great turnout of students and kids, and it does be a really good, exciting week for you up there.
Well, it's part of the National Science Week, of course, which is aimed at inspiring interest in science and technology. And we have a fairly well-established program now of bringing school parties in, usually a primary school in the morning, a secondary school in the evening, maybe in the afternoon, I should say, and then maybe one evening event. Other events coming up, Culture Evening. We're open on Culture Evening.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the, I think it's a big mistake to think of our scientific heritage as being somehow divorced from our culture. We're open on Culture Evening. And as I said, if you go to the website, you can book online for the open nights. Those are in the winter months because, as you pointed out earlier, it's really too bright in the summer to have any chance of seeing anything in the sky.
Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, Luke, was the astronomy trail. Go ahead.
That's something we launched. That's something we launched about a bit over a year ago now. Dunsink Observatory is only one of the astronomical facilities around the country that people can visit. We have Blackrock Castle Observatory in Cork, we have the Imbush Observatory in Galway, the Burr Castle, and of course we mustn't forget the Newgrange in the Boyne Valley, which is the oldest structure in the world with a clear astronomical alignment. You shouldn't really call it an observatory, but it's clear that the people who built Newgrange understood quite a bit about the motion of the sun through the sky.
Yeah. So lots of exciting stuff out there, and lots for people to see, especially if they're interested in the skies.
Absolutely.
And just your own title. I was fascinated there by your own title when I was calling out there. Head of Astrophysics and Director of the School of Cosmic Physics. A lot of people probably hearing that. Can you explain what cosmic physics is to us? And astrophysics, or what's the difference?
Well, cosmic physics is a more general term. It basically means using physics to understand the world around us. So it's not laboratory physics, where you do experiments in the laboratory. The idea is to use nature itself, in some sense, as your laboratory. So we have two big divisions. We have a geophysics division, which tries to understand what's happening beneath our feet. And we've the astronomy and astrophysics division, which, if you like, looks in the other direction and tries to understand what's happening around us in the universe. And the idea is to use our knowledge of physics to make sense, really, of the phenomena we observe.
Not sure who it was. JFK or something says, we can't know where we're going till we know where we've been. So there's a lot we can learn by studying the stars and everything around us.
Well, it directly addresses the questions, as you say, where are we coming from?
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I think we're increasingly aware that the Earth is not a high risk, but I mean, things like asteroid impacts, cometary impacts, there are risks there, and we need to know what's possible and what's impossible and be able to plan for things like that. So it's important to understand what's out there. Because it's not all calm and peaceful always.
Absolutely. Well, as I say, Luke, it's fascinating stuff, and it absolutely fascinates me. I just loved it. It's just the whole trying to get your head around the number sometimes. I remember somebody told me once about if you counted every grain of sand on every beach in the world, you wouldn't come close to the number of galaxies or something. I'm quoting that wrong. I apologise to whoever it was said it to me. But like, that's the kind of it. The math is kind of math you can't get your head around.
That analogy has a long history. There's a famous work by the great Greek mathematician Archimedes where he estimates how many grains of sand would fill what they thought at that time was the known universe, and points out that while this is a very large number, it's not infinite.
Yeah.
He can do the calculation. What is extraordinary is that, as you say, I mean, when I was a student, the age of the universe was uncertain by a factor of two. I mean, we were pretty sure we knew roughly what it was, but it could have been twice as old or half as old. Now we have it down to better than 1%.
Yeah.
And as somebody said, we actually know the age of the universe to a higher level of accuracy than most people know their body weight.
And as I say, that's hard to get your head around.
It is. It's extraordinary, really.
Yeah. It's just the vastness of it. I find fascinating, you know, when you... galaxies, and if you think every galaxy has the potential to have a solar system at least as big as our one in it, and then of course that leads you into the great question of are we alone, but we won't get into that today, Luke. We'll keep that for another day.
Well, that is one of the great unknowns. I mean one thing we certainly do know now, which we didn't know 20 years ago, is that planetary systems are very common.
Almost
all stars seem to have planets, and you know, 20 years ago, you could have said, well, maybe the solar system is somehow virtually unique and very special. Yeah. That clearly isn't the case.
Yeah. And each day we get closer. Every day we're getting more answers, and hopefully one day we'll find out if we are indeed alone in this great big universe of ours. Professor, thanks very much for taking the time and coming on and talking to us. I could talk to you all day about it. It's just absolutely fascinating stuff. If anybody wants details about the observatory, they can just go onto the website, yeah?
Yeah, they look at www.dias, Dublin Institute Advanced Studies.ie, and follow the links to Dunsink. There's a form there where you can book to come and visit. Or, as I say, just phone up Hilary and talk to her. She's always very helpful.
She is very helpful. She loved a couple of nice chats with Hilary last week. So, thanks very much, as I say, Professor Luke Drury, for coming on to us. And please God, we'll talk to you again in the future. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bye. Bye.